Well, we'd like to look over into, actually, the book of John is where we're going to start. I'm going to write something up here on the board. It's not going to be very complicated this morning. I'm going to start right there. What does that mean? It means a neighbor sitting next to you? It's pretty personal, isn't it? Two little letters, Y-E. That means me. And when it comes to you, that means you. Very personal. Ye. And I want to tell you that what the verse we're going to go to, it wasn't me that said this. It was Jesus that said this. And when Jesus starts out, ye, he knows who he's talking to. The verse I want to read here this morning, the phrase that I want us to focus on is found in the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter of John. The very next word in that phrase is this. When somebody says to you, must, is that a suggestion? Is that a, if you want to? You know, if we as parents tell our children, give them some things we'd like for them to do, and we say, we want you to get these things done, and then if you'd like to, you can do. But the first part of that is, this is what you must do before you do that. This must, when you use the word must here, and he didn't qualify it. He didn't say that I believe you must do this. He just said you must. Sounds pretty important then, doesn't it? Another little word, I believe it means something. What does that mean to you? Be. You must be. Folks, this is talking about possessing. Actually having it in your hands. Actually having hold of it. You must be. If I'm going to say, you must be in this building, well then, that means your presence is here. Or needs to be here. You must be here. He said, Jesus said, you must be. And this next phrase, next two words should be put together. Well, we're acquainted very well with this phrase. It's not something new to us. But it's just as important today. It's what it was whenever he said that to a man, an adult, who came to him with questions on his mind. Some things he couldn't understand well. And Jesus said, you must be born again. I think sometimes we can fall into a trap, snare around the saints. Folks, we are blessed when we're raised around the volume of truth that we have here around the Church of God. Yes. We're blessed. But being raised around the truth does not make you part of the church of God. It's a wonderful thing. And we can be raised around and learn to live according to the way the rest of the people, the mode of living that everybody lives, and be a very good person. If you live the way the saints are, live, I want to tell you folks, you're going to be a pretty good person. But that doesn't help you understand truth. Nor does it make you part of the church of God. It doesn't make you part of the church of God. Let me say it like Jesus did. You must be born again. We must be born again. What does that mean to you today? This phrase got popularized back when I was a young man. We had a president that, a man running for president. And in his campaign, he wanted everybody to know his stand. And it was a popular thing to proclaim that back then. It was the nation seemed to hold a little bit more, at least maybe in some sort of romantic view of that we should be Christians. So he capitalized on that, and he said he wasn't just a Catholic or some other type. I'm a born again Christian. And that's good. But it's more than a statement with the mouth. Jesus said, you must be born again. What does that born again mean to you? Does that mean just a profession with your mouth? Because I want to tell you, that president professed with his mouth many, many times. Those who have written historical first-hand knowledge of the man, I've read some of the things that they have said, and they will tell you he didn't live very well. I suppose everybody can criticize, but the fact is, God wants us to be born again. So what does born again mean? We also have over in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. And it says, the 17th verse, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you hear people testify every once in a while, and once in a while I'll tell you the story of, remind you of how I felt just after I got saved. And the change that came. I am still to this day amazed at the change that took place. I want to tell you folks today, when Jesus comes into our lives, there's a change that happens. Old things indeed passes away. The way I used to think gets adjusted. Well, maybe that's a tame way of saying it. The way I used to think gets turned around 180 degrees differently than what I do now. Used to, I took a certain amount of morbid pleasure in sitting back at the back of the chapel and catching at phrases that were said by the minister and chuckling and turning those phrases into something that was not right. That's right. And I took pleasure in finding ways of twisting those things in my mind. And I want to tell you, after I got saved, I deplored that type of thought. And what the minister then was saying, it sounded so different, and I listened to it with different ears. My ears were changed, folks. And I listened to it, and I drank in, and I sought for those words that spoke something to my soul. And all the... It was different. And I walked differently. And I talked differently. I will tell you and admit to you that, yes, you're still human. The Lord didn't cause me to be in a spiritual state that the flesh just dropped away and I was no longer in the flesh, but we do remain in the flesh. But the flesh is no longer our Lord. We confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Not just again with our mouth. Words are easily said. But you see, God does a divine work in life. But one of the great things that He has given to you and I is our ability to choose. And one of the things that I think is important for a minister to remind us of is that you always have a choice before you and to remind you to choose good. Every day. It's part of what Jesus was saying when He said, if any man would come after Me, and He talked about this on a daily scale, daily do it. If any man would come after Me, let him take up his cross. In one place it said daily. Take up his cross and follow Me. You know what that's really meaning? Choose to do it right. Every day. Make that conscious choice. Okay. You can get up that morning and say, Lord, I want to serve You today. And it's a good prayer. Lord, give me grace today. And that's what you should say. And then when you face the trial, that's the deciding moment. You have already set your course and you've told the Lord, I want to go through. But then when it's time to go through, if you're finding yourself growing weak, turn again to Him and say, God, I want to go through. And I will tell you, when you make those choices and do it, you will find there is a born again experience that is at work in your life. You see, it's a lot more than just saying it so cavalierly with our mouth and saying, I made a decision to follow Christ. Well, amen, good if you did. But I want to ask you, if you tell me you made a decision to follow Christ, I want to ask you, have you put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ? That means a lot more than saying, I just made a decision. Putting your full, putting it, our full faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is more than just saying it today. That's walking in that decision. Lord, I want to serve You. I want to follow You. And by Your grace. And again, I don't want you to just stop and think that grace is the unmerited favor of God, which it is. But sometimes at that point we stop and say that means the Lord just, He just overlooks my sin. And that's not what true grace is. There is a grace that comes to you and I and through the blood of Jesus Christ says, there's the atonement. And He accepts that sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where I put my full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, I have no money to pay my debt. And so I come to Jesus and I say, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I want to tell you, the Lord Himself accepts that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But then, and that's grace, folks. That is grace. But grace does not stop there. Grace is bequeathed to you and I to give us power to live above the degrading forces of this world. That is a born again experience. Over in Romans the sixth chapter, the writer gave some pictures there of all throughout this area of Rome, in different places in Romans. It shows the struggle. He portrays it between the flesh, those who would live to the flesh, and he talks about living to the righteous, the spiritual side, the godly part. Folks, these two do not coexist. They don't work well together. Godliness and the works of the flesh. Can you blend them together? You can't homogenize them together till they just kind of blend. So, but there are many people and preachers today trying to teach a doctrine that somehow you can blend them together and they coexist. And folks, they do not. The works of the flesh are diametrically opposed. And you know what that means, diametric? That means 180 degrees opposite to the works of the Spirit. The works of the flesh will not produce the works of righteousness. So what we mean now by the works of the flesh, and here's where that part of the works of the flesh, we need to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. If we live to the flesh, that's over in Romans 8, isn't it? That's right. If we live to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. You can't change that fact. I don't care how much grace we claim. God's grace does not cover intended living to the flesh. Only the blood of Jesus Christ covers that. Again, that comes when we forsake our sins and take it. But we're talking again in the context now of the new birth, the born again experience. And Jesus said, you must be born again. We can grow up around the church of God, grow up in a good home. I don't want to tell you, that's all good. But when we do that, the fact still remains, all of us, every one of us, must be born again. And you young folks, I want to tell you, if you have grown up around the saints and have chosen to follow the Lord and have that born again experience in your life, and you haven't went out in sin, here again we have a term, we'll try to qualify it, and I don't know how else to say it and you haven't went out into deep sin, I want to tell you, I envy you. Let me say it differently. I'm grateful for you. Don't ever think that there's an advantage to going out in deep sin and then getting saved. Please don't think that way. But I will tell you, if you've never went out into deep sin, the fact still remains, you must be born again. Because, you see, these little children, when we grow up, we start, all we like sheep have taken our own way. Have walked away. And in doing so, you violated the law of God. And you must be born again. You've lived to the flesh. All these little children, and folks, if we're not careful, we can again start walking in the flesh. I want us to be careful. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the flesh doesn't try to rise up and tempt you and I to walk in it. There's where the sanctifying portion of the Holy Spirit needs to be applied every day. The cross needs to be embraced every day in our life. And the flesh must be put on that cross. Voluntarily, intentionally. By the owner of that flesh. Embrace the cross. Jesus said it's important that we do so. And all folks, it is important this day that we live in, that we not only say that I'm born again, but live in the born again life. Live in that experience. If you live to the flesh, you will, oh, the flesh reap its corruption. But if you live to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Thank the Lord. Not only will we reap life when we pass off of this fleshly scene of this world, but we reap life here. You will enjoy, you will have the pleasures, true pleasures of the spiritual pleasures of life as you live here. You'll have a fulfilled life. Okay, this sixth chapter of Romans. Again, I want to make another point here with a born-again experience. One of the things that Nicodemus, he came with some questions. He wanted to understand some things. So he asked Jesus some questions. And it probably would have been easy for Jesus to say, well, I'll give you, and he just gave an answer. But you know, Nicodemus would not have been able to receive that answer and understand it rightly. You know why? Had a problem, didn't he? Jesus dealt with the problem that he had. You're not going to understand the answer well until you have the proper mindset. You see, when we live to the flesh, folks, young people, it's very important. If you live to the flesh, you will read some of the same scriptures that the saints have read and preached on for years. And you'll read that scripture and it will get interpreted differently to your mind. And you'll find room to let the flesh live in the same scriptures, folks. The problem is, ye must be born again. Not just say that I am born again, but be born again. This word means a bunch, folks. I want to underline. See these little words? Well, how do you keep from underlining all of it? See that? Me, individually, must. There is no way around it. There is no answer for it. There's no substitute for it. That is, there's no qualifying. You must be. The saints used to teach that, and it's, you know, I've learned more today. Be careful where you learned it. The flesh has a lot of learning. Flesh had a lot of things to try to teach it. If we'll listen, the devil has been busy with his propaganda machine for many, many a year. And he is still doing it today. In this world, in this life, this era, the time we live in today, folks, he knows how to really present his propaganda. And if you'll be wise and watchful, you will recognize that most, if not all, of his propaganda will make room for your flesh to live. You know why? He didn't want it to die. That's his seat of power. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Over here in Romans, the sixth chapter, the writer was talking about this experience, and he talks about in the fourth verse, therefore, ye are buried with him. You know what that means? He's talking about the old flesh being put down. He's talking about, and I know it talks, the symbolism here of baptism is brought forth. And that's one of the also reasons why I teach immersion. I believe the good symbol of having somebody buried, we put them all the way under. Folks, I want to tell you, the old flesh has to be done the same way with. It needs to go beyond the symbol. It needs to be actuality. You must be born again. Such little simple words, aren't they? But they carry so much weight. God help us today that we not make room for the flesh. He said, therefore, we are buried with Him. You know how you know when you bury? You know how we put that old body down there in the grave? We've dug a hole for Him. And you know what we do when we put Him down there? We don't just say, okay, you're down in the hole. What? You know what we start doing? We grab the shovel. I know today they got backhoes and all that kind of stuff to do that with. There was a time that everybody grabbed their own hands and they started putting that dirt back in there. Folks, God wants us to intentionally grab the shovel, dig the hole for the old flesh life, put Him down there, and grab the shovel and start throwing, burying it. One shovel full at a time. You know, what I'm saying here is when you have opportunity in your life for the flesh to rise up, grab the shovel and throw another shovel down. Another shovel full on top of it. Keep Him down. Use the cross. That's the symbolism we're talking about here. Don't allow the flesh to rise up and become prominent again. Because that is the avenue that the devil, that's his seat of power. That's the avenue he will use to cause your defeat. Now, this born-again experience is not of the flesh. You know, Nicodemus said, how can that happen? I'm a grown man. How can I be born again? And Jesus said, well, you know, I'm putting this in my words, but He was telling him that you're looking at it according to the flesh and you can't understand well your problem again, that you must be born again, you see. So He's talking about a spiritual birth. Talking about inside the man. A fundamental change. Complete change. Not an adjustment, but a complete change. You know, a lot of people come to the first of the year. 2013 has passed, and when 2014 came around, there were people that they had what they called New Year's resolutions. I've heard people talk about turning over a new leaf. All that might be good. I'm not talking against it. But that's not born again. Born again is a lot more than just turning over a new leaf or make an adjustment. Born again is a complete change. The other direction. Oh, time has gotten away. And I believe, anyway, on through this book of Romans, throughout the scripture, folks, actually, from place, time to time, you will see where this thought is brought out that if we live to the flesh, we will die. If we let the old flesh come up and rise up and become our ruler, you're not born again. And the new life that comes out of this is grave. Now, again, we read a while ago, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things have become new. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Again, how does this happen, folks? Is it by me just deciding? No, it's not. But that's got to be part of it. God does give you a choice. He does the work, but He wants us to want it. So I want us to know you and I cannot do it in our own strength. We know that. Surely we do. But God does want us to give Him our all. And as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in other words, this glory of the Father is talking about the power and might of His Heavenly Father. You know why Jesus wasn't afraid to lay that down in the old flesh? Because He knew His Father was going to bring Him out. He knew that. We don't need to fear death, folks. You don't need to fear the cross. Though it's difficult for the flesh, and it will be. It was difficult for Jesus, the flesh part. But remember the Scripture says, who for the glory set before Him or the joy. But it said that the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame. And now he won. He sat down. Oh, thank the Lord. That's what Jesus did. And he wants you and I to follow him the same way in the new birth. That even that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a new birth. I know it says in the newness of life. But that's what it's talking about. Born again. Oh, I want us all not to get accustomed to thinking that, I guess we're just, we're trying to learn a system here. Please don't. It's much more than that. Young folks, I know you're raised around the teaching, and I'm really glad you're raised around the teaching. But it's more than the teaching. You must be born again. You must have something that has happened inside your soul. And then something not only that has happened, but that you walk in newness of life. That you continue on. And it's more than just a human-made system, folks. If this was just a human-made system, then we don't have it. We don't have it. But something happened to me personally that changed me. And I've seen that happen in other people too. He took old, ruined lives and He took them and He changed them and He made them new. And that's what convinced me that that way's right. And walking in that way has taught me His godly principles. And so that's what we teach. What He, you know, John said, we saw it happen. We were eyewitnesses to it. And that's what we're teaching you. You remember that? John the apostle, that's what he was saying. We were eyewitnesses. We were there. We saw it happen. And I'm telling you what, and we're teaching you what the Lord has taught us. Folks, that's what the Church of God still is today. We're eyewitnesses. We've had it happen. I know what it is. And so we pass it on to the younger generation and say, get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Don't let the devil and his propaganda tell you it's just something that we all have decided. It's just a system we're trying to hold to, folks. If it's just a traditional system, may as well lay the old traditional system down and get the real. Because God does have something real. You must be born again. He wants to witness that new birth. He wants to confirm that new birth within our own soul. That we rise in with newness of life, with confidence of our soul. The Lord has done something for me. Folks, you cannot take the testimony of the blind man. Remember when he said, I know this is that I was blind and now I see. You can't change that fact. And when you're saved, you have a witness, you have a confirmation in your soul, something has changed. I can't describe, I can't tell you all how it happened. I don't know, I can't give you all the theological reasons, I can't give you all the physiological reasons, I can't tell you, I don't need to know that. Well, how can you see you've been, I don't know, I can't tell you, but I know this much. I was lost and now I'm found. I used to be a sinner and now I'm saved. I used to carry a load of guilt on my shoulders and now it's gone. How do you know He accepted me? I can't tell you except the weight's off my back. It's gone. And I feel Him witnessing in my soul. That's more than a system, folks. Now you're going to find those people wanting to live righteously and godly in this present world. And they're all once they want to do that, they want to please their Heavenly Father, and they start all living within the same boundaries of godliness. And you might say, well, you've just made another group. No, we didn't. God made the group. That's called
The
ecclesia. I'm just getting over into the... That's called the church of God. You know what that... The church, ecclesia, you know what that means? That means those who have heard the call of God and have moved out of where they used to be. The ecclesia means a called out. That's what that means. That's His church. I've left all the world to follow Jesus. Never backwards to its folly will I turn. For I'm on my upward way. And it's getting brighter every day. That's the church of God right there. Leaning on His loving bosom is the church, His holy, His chosen bride. Thank the Lord. It all starts right here. Ye must be born again. Pray for me. I want to continue on. I don't want to let these things slip. I know it's... If this is a message you've heard, and no, it's not new. There's nothing new with this message this morning. But may God help us to stir up our good minds, our good thinking, that it would, we would not let any of this slip. That it would be firm and confirmed in our lives. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.